book of 1 John. You know, last week and week before, I tried to get into the introduction of this book, and I've studied it many times and preached through it two or three times before, five, I don't remember. But, you know, the Word of God is such amazing to me that every time that you read it, it seems like it starts all over again, fresh in the heart. Because God's Word says, you know, we start learning here a line, there a line, precept upon precept, here, there, little, you know, you keep learning and keep learning and keep learning, because we can't absorb all that at one time. So he just lets us learn a little bit at a time, because our little minds can't comprehend it. But last week I got to the introduction A, B, C, and D. That's about as far as I got from God, privilege of a fellowship that we have in Christ Jesus and also in our church. And fellowship is our greatest privilege. And I want to overview this or review this, and I don't like to review, but I will anyway, because I hate to start off in the kind of middle of something. I was planning on getting through this whole thing last Wednesday night, and I got the first introduction as far as I got, but I was planning on getting through. Every time I do this, I plan on getting through with these verses, verses 3 through 10. But anyway, it's talking about our fellowship, and it's so sweet, you know, and it's such a blessing to have fellowship. I wish every Christian could understand the sweetness and that we have in the fellowship in Christ Jesus and one another. The reason we're here tonight, every time we come to worship the Lord. Worship and fellowship are different, but they interwoven together. They're so interwoven. We need each and every one of them. But when we come out to worship, and what we do, we come to worship. And I said last week, worship, we're expressing our love to God. And that's what you're doing here tonight. The first thing that we do, we come to church. And the reason I can't understand why more people don't want to express their love to God, that's what we're doing. But then we come here in fellowship with one another when we're expressing what we're saying by being here, is I love you, and I need you, and you need me, and we need one another. And I love you. And that's what we're saying by being here. And, you know, fellowship, it divides our sorrow. As Miss Juwan had sorrow in her family, still have, you know. And whenever you pat somebody on the back and pray for them and thank you and shake hands with them and tell them we're praying for them, you know what we're really doing is really just sharing each other's sorrow. You go in the hospital, someone's praying for you, you're going through some bad times in your life, and people are praying for you. What we're doing is sharing each other's sorrow. It's a lot better when someone share their sorrow with you. And also it multiplies our joy that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ as our fellowship tonight. You know, it's multiplied our joy just by being here tonight and seeing one another. And Proverbs 27:17 says, iron sharpened iron, so man's sharpened the countenance of his friends. As you know how you sharpen an axe with a file, you know, before you cut anything. Well, we're sharpening one another in our real fellowship. Well, really what we're saying is the fellowship we have, and by coming and worship and fellowship together, we're really putting an edge on each other's life. That's what we're doing. We're putting a cutting edge in this society on each other's life. But you know how bad fellowship, you know, it's blunt and it'll dull your witness and your testimony. And you tell the kids, young people, better be careful what crowds you run with. Well, it's the same thing with Christians, you know, we come together in the name of Jesus Christ, you know. Our fellowship puts an edge on life of the wrong crowd to do the same thing for Christians. I need you and you need me and we need each other. If a person is saved, God has given a deep longing to want to have fellowship with God's people. Because whenever you say the Spirit of God moves into your life, into your heart, and you got really little Jesus in there, and Jesus wants to be with other little Jesuses. That's what it amounts to. And he gives us this longing to be with each other. The introduction is God's privilege of our fellowship. And I mentioned these three. I'll run over a little fast here tonight. Because people need and want to be accepted. This is God's privilege for us to have this fellowship, because we need to be accepted. And I told you why we need to be accepted. Because you and I are not perfect. You know that? And we need to be accepted. And that's the reason we need this fellowship. We need to be accepted because we're none of us perfect. And you know, we help one another because we're not perfect. Jesus Christ accepted his disciples because they were not perfect, but they needed him, and he called them. People don't come to church, they say, you know what, I don't need the church. And really what they're expressing with their attitude is saying, I don't need you, I don't need God. And it, you know, if they could just understand, I don't need this fellowship, but they do need it, whether they understand it or not. They still need it. I need you, and you need me, and we need each other. But then, you know, we need to be appreciated. this fellowship we have. We need to be appreciated, and we need to tell each other, you know, that I appreciate you and what you do for the Lord. What happened to that thing? Huh? Battery run dead. Anyway, we need to be appreciated. I appreciate Orville taking care of this right now. And the one upstairs also. That shows you we need each other, isn't that right? Because we're not perfect, so Orville is going to take care of it. There's so much of this electronic stuff I don't know anything about. They got some of it back in this back room and underneath the baptistry. They got some of it up there, and they got a big old room full of it over there, and I don't know where, I don't even know how to turn it on. Anyhow, we thank you all up there for helping us out. Okay, encourage one another. Thank you. All right. On. Am I dead? I'm still on here. How about now? Orville turned me off, didn't he? That ain't the first time he's done that. Can you still hear me? I done it myself. Tell me I don't know what to do. It might blow up. It might blow up. I don't know. I know how to stop the noise. Hey, or we'll get it fixed, wrecked, maybe. Encourage one another. Thank you. And our brothers and sisters in the Lord. We need to be assured, affirmed, too, in the Lord. To know, you know, there's hope. You know, that's what we're doing. Letting each other know there's hope by being here tonight. There's hope in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we certainly need one another. The assurance, God says, for this privilege of this fellowship, the assurance. Orville, I unplugged these things. They were still going. I unplugged them, but. Okay. Orville knows a little more than me about them things. Anyway, that know this fellowship and the hope with one another. And I give the example last week. Y'all remember last week? Y'all remember last week I gave the example of these giant redwood trees out in California? And you think those giant redwood trees will have tap roots, you know, like a pine tree, go down for several hundred feet, because some of those trees is over 300 feet high. Can you imagine that, those giant redwood trees? And you would think that tap root to hold them things up would go down to right on down and down and down. But they don't. They don't have a tap root. They just have all these feeder roots going out. And what they do, they grow in clusters, because one redwood tree could not stand by itself. And they grow in clusters, and the roots are like this, all over top of dirt from one tree to another tree to absorb all the moisture. And, you know, they grow in clusters because all these other trees and all the roots are just wound together and bound together, and the wind blows, it's blowing against all of them, and instead of just one, because if it's just one lonely tree, redwood tree, it would be done blowed over. And as you see, they together is we stand, and divided we fall. Well, the redwood trees, you know what they do? You know what? They know the law of nature that God provided for them, and together they all woven together. It's amazing that Christians don't do the same thing, because we need all this root system together. Because, you know, the storm blows against all Christians, and we need to be woven together to withstand the storm, because we need each other. God gave us these privilege of fellowship, and we need to withstand the storms of life, because, you see, without it, we will fall. Well, that was introduction last week, and now I'm going to start on introduction now for the world's former for fellowship. That was God's former. Now, the world has a former for fellowship, too. If you'll understand what that is, that fellowship. But let me read a few of these verses of scriptures before we start into that. In John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, and then have a word of prayer. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in the darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, We have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Let us pray. Father, we want to thank you again, Lord, this night for this great privilege that you have provided for us. Lord, the fellowship we have and the worship we have to worship you, a living Savior, Father. We just thank you, Lord, for the privilege this night, Lord, that you might open our understanding. Father, for the sweet fellowship we have with you, Father, and with our brothers and sisters in the Lord. And Father, we just pray, God, that we might help some other Christian, Lord, or brothers and sisters in the Lord, Lord, to find their way back to the fellowship that they need so bad, God, in their life. And Father, we just know that you will help them because you'll be guiding them back to the light. And Father, we want to thank you for all the prayers been offered up tonight and everything that's made this service possible here tonight. We give you the honor and glory, Lord, that you deserve. And all these blessed we ask in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Okay, but the United States that we're living in now, you know, has really taught us, you know, that we have a burden of guilt, and this is what the world says about our former for fellowship. We have a burden of guilt, but without the sense of sin in our country, and they tell us about this worldly fellowship. We want to be forgiven without repentance. That's the world that we're living in. Then they tell us about these environmentalists, you know, evolution. They say we're on the way up. I mean, we're just getting better and better, and we're just going to get better and better. But God says, no, we're on the way down. And we never see sin with what it is that we understand that it's sin against God, the evolutionist. But then also this world tells about this educational system that we have in the world today. And you just say education can handle the sin problem. You know, you need to be educated. You know, if you're educated to take care of the sin problem, a lot of people believe and think that way. If that be true, then the more knowledge and the more educated a person is, the less sinful they would be. Is that correct? If we talk about the world standards, but we find out that's not correct. Just because they're educated, just because, you know, they are very intelligent intellectually, do not mean they sin less. For instance, a whole nation of people in the Nazi Germany, you know, that nation, it was had a very high level education when Hitler took over and really destroyed that whole nation. But they say education, that's the problem. They get people educated and they won't sin as much or that take care of the sin problem. And science tells us, you know, that man has a defective gene. You know, nowadays you know that you got this bad gene. No matter what it is, you know, it's sickness, drugs, or sickness. They say, you know, even serial killers, they got a bad gene. And they're looking for that gene, you know. The scientists are coming up, they're looking for that gene. If they could just find that gene, you know, they can take that gene out, you know, and they wouldn't be sinful no more. Well, that they have a gene, but that every one of us has that same gene, and what it is called sin. That's what it's called. They're looking for it. I tell you, it's easy to find. You can see it about anybody, can't you? Everybody just about has it, or we all have it, a fallen nature. And all the sociologists, they tell us the problem now with the environment. If we can just improve our environment, now we'll find a lot of this coming out of, you know, our government system. You know, if we can just improve our environment, you know, we'll be better people and have a better time and enjoy and have peace. But you see, if that had been the case, Adam and Eve had the perfect environment. Talking about the Garden of Eden. They had a perfect environment. You know what? They kept on until they sinned in the very perfect environment. Psychologists, you know what? They tell us, you know, that you know, we just need to remove this guilt of sin. I don't know how many of you watch Dr. Phil. I don't watch him myself. But you see, his idea is remove the guilt without moving the sin. And you can't do that. You got to be a spiritual side of it. You see, there's always a spiritual side of it. Because, you see, he won't say that's a mistake. Or, you know, we a lot of times that's what we do with our sin. We say it's a mistake. Or we say it's an excuse. But I tell you, Jesus Christ didn't die on the cross for mistakes. He didn't die on the cross for excuses. Jesus Christ died on the cross for sin. He died for sin. And only Jesus can forgive sin. If we say that we have no sin, Hebrews 8 and 12 tells us, "For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquity will I remember no more." Isaiah 43 and 25 says, "I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions, for my own sake and will not remember thy sins. Boy, that is real good. Only God can deal with our sins. Now, he's talking here in this John now to save people. And God said he will forget our sins. But does God really forget? Does God really forget? You see, if God forget, he would change. If he could remember something, he would change. But God says, I never change. So does God forget your sins? Intellectually, no. He never forgets them. But he says, I'll remember them no more. God is saying in his word, I forgot to forgive your sins and I'll remember them no more. But God says, I never change. If he could change, he wouldn't be God. Even intellectually. I will remember their sins no more. What is he saying then? I will remember your sins against you no more. I'll remember your sins against you anymore. Not that God forever forgets anything, but I will not remember your sins against you anymore. God forgives us and remembers them against us no more. For you and me, do you know I can remember back whenever I was little, I sinned. Can y'all think about the night when y'all have sinned before? Maybe back whenever you was young. Maybe it was a lie. Maybe you stole something. Maybe whatever it was. Can you know you can remember a long, long time ago? You can remember that. You hadn't forgot that. Much less what we done last week. But now, intellectually, you can remember that. But what God is saying to us, whenever we confess our sin, we can forget our own sin. But we can't forget it intellectually. But we can do the same thing God said. Because God remembers against them no more, I can remember against me no more also, because God covered it in his blood. I don't have to worry about that sin. Even if it comes into my mind intellectually, what you've done. But I can forget it as remembered against me no more. Because God says, I will not remember it no more. And you the same way will not remember it no more against you. Think about that. Against me. Thank you, Lord. When we say God puts us sin in a graveyard of God forgiveness, our past and our present and our future. All of our sins. I'll remember against you no more. Now Isaiah 1 and 18 tells us, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they may be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. That's what he's talking about. They may be red. I will not remember against you anymore. Never brought up against anymore. Now, there's two ways now that, you know, we can have this relationship with God. One way is that we have sonship. You know, that's when we're born again. And then there's fellowship. Verse 6 and 7 I done read. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in the darkness, we lie and do not the truth. 7 says, but if we walk in light as he is in light, we have fellowship one with another in the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, this is a time, y'all remember whenever they had telephones with cords on them. Well, this little boy was in town, and he went into the drugstore. Y'all remember, had little drugstores on the corner. He went into the drugstore and asked the druggist, could he use their telephone? He said, yes, son, you can. He said, what do you need? I want to call the grocery store. So he handed him the phone. He called the grocery store. He says, sir, do you need anybody to help you in the grocery store? Like, you know, help you bag groceries. And he said, no, son, we have someone. We have someone right now. We appreciate it. He said, well, he may not be doing such a good job. He said, I can pack groceries. I can put them back on the shelf. I can mop the floor. I can take out the trash. I can do all these things. He said, now, you sure you don't need nobody? He says, no, we got a young man, and we're proud of him. He's doing a good job. He said, okay, thank you. And he hung up the phone, and the druggist said, son, I'm sorry you didn't get the job. He said, you don't understand. I already had the job. I'm just checking up on myself. And this is what these verses of scriptures is telling us to do right now, is to check up on ourselves. to check up on ourselves. Sonship and fellowship. Sins have been forgiven. Now, how about the now? The past, but how about this week? How about today? How's God dealing with our sins after we've been saved? He deals with our sin never the more as judge to send us to hell. He never deals with our sin after we're saved, no more, no more condemnation, those who are in Christ Jesus. He never holds any sin against us to send us to hell. He never comes up as judgeship to us anymore because of his Son Jesus Christ. He deals with our sin as a father. As a father, because he is our father, Abba Father. Sonship can never be broken, as you cannot be unborn. But we know fellowship changes. You know, your kids, most of us had kids, you know, and sometimes, you know, they was unruly and you had to give them a little spanking. And I remember my dad spanking me, and he always real nice about it because he never spanked me on an empty stomach. He always turned me over. And that's what the Lord does. He turns us over and he gives us a good spanking because he is our father. And he deals with our sin as a sonship, as a father, and not as a judge. Hebrews 12:11 says, "Now no chastening for this present seemed to be joyful, but grievous, nevertheless, afterwards it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." You know, the night, a lot of us can say, I'm glad my father or my mother really kept me on a tight line. Or maybe I'm proud that I was disciplined like I was disciplined. Because, you see, it yielded the fruit of righteousness in our old age. And we could be thankful for that. And that's what God is saying here as he begins to take us to the woodshed sometime is sonship. See, sonship is fixed by birth. Fellowship determines, you see, if we obey our father. And if we don't, you see, he's going to be able to correct us. He will correct us. See, never can sonship be interrupted. But we know that sin can interrupt fellowship that we have with our father, just like it did with have with your kids and we've had with our father also. How to be in this fellowship is the title of it. How to be in this fellowship. To know that you're in fellowship and to stay in this fellowship. Third thing, you know, your sins must be exposed to the light. Your sins must be exposed to the light. Verse 6, again, I read, "If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in the darkness, we lie and do not the truth." Now, if we try to cover our sins, what happened? If we say, John's talking about people now has denied their sin. If we say, excuses or alibis. What happened in verse 8? It says, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us." The first thing, we start lying to other people. How do we do that? How we lie to other people? You know, a lot of times, you know what we do as Christian people? You know, I believe I can hit this on the head, but I believe every one of us is in the same boat, including me. Sometimes we have sinned, and we hadn't asked the Lord to forgive us. And we come to church just like there ain't nothing happened. And maybe you know what? You might sing in the choir. You might lead in prayer. You might teach Sunday school. You might have the Bible in your arm. You might say amen, whatever it might be. But you see, really, if we have unconfessed sin in our heart, what we're doing is we don't want the person on the pew side of us to know what's really going on. And we have sinned. We hadn't asked for forgiveness. And what we really do, we start lying to other people. But God knows what's in your heart. And God knows that you need to confess it and get it out of your heart. But nobody else don't know. And in this place right here tonight, you know what? God knows. Your wife might not know. Your husband might not know. Whatever it is, whoever's sitting. But you see, God knows, don't he? And it's possible for us to have unconfessed sin in our life right now and break the fellowship with God sitting here tonight. Did y'all know that? And we lie to ourselves if we say we hadn't. And then we deceive ourselves, and then we deceive others, and we deceive ourselves. Verse 8 says, "If we have no sin." You know what we do if we say it long enough, we start believing it. You say it long enough. That's what a lot of people do, to start believing it. We deceive ourselves, deceive people around, deceive ourselves. And then the last thing, we start deceiving God. We tell him, you know what, in verse 10 it says, If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. He knows what we have or not. Then we deceive all of ourselves and deceive others, you know, and then we start lying to God. But the Holy Spirit says, nope, that's sin. We say, no, that's not sin. Holy Spirit says, yeah, that's sin. Then we're calling God a liar. You know, there's a lot of people that does that. Homosexuality. You know, people says that's not sin, that's a lifestyle. God says it's a sin. If a person in this relationship like that, you know what it is? They're calling God a liar. More than that, you know, that's just one of the things. They're just calling God a liar. Hebrews 10 and 25, it says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. That, you know, it's commanding us that we ought to be in fellowship and come to church. And you say, well, I don't need to come to church. Well, you're calling God a liar. That's sin. Did you know it's a sin not to come and worship the Lord? It is. And they say, well, I don't need a church. Well, you're calling God a liar. He says you do. And God works with people, like I said, on fellowship now and not condemning them. Then if we confess our sin, expose the sin to the light. Now, we can have fellowship with God and we can have fellowship with one another. Now, as I said, we save people. And we're not talking about the sin that condemns us and sends us to hell. We're talking about that sin destroys our fellowship with God and with one another. Now, we can confess them. And the difference between the Holy Spirit's conviction and Satan accusing, because he's the accuser of the brethren. But you know, the Holy Spirit and Satan both brings up your sins. Now, a lot of people cannot tell the difference which one it is. God's Word. The Holy Spirit convicts you of your sin to bring your sins into the light, to be cleansed and to make you whole again. The devil accuses you to destroy you. The Holy Spirit convicts you, really, to start with, legally, because we know that we have sinned. Legitimately, you sin, you have not confessed this sin, and the Holy Spirit brings it up to you and say, hey, you need to get that right. You need to confess that sin. You need to confess that sin. Because you have sinned against the Holy Trinity. Verse 9 says, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all righteousness. Holy Spirit can do this, and he does this to us. You need to get it right. He convicts us when he does this. He convicts us specially. How does he do this? The Holy Spirit did not convict you generally. Say, hey, now the devil will. You know what the devil will do? Go ahead and sin, you get by with it. When you do, he said, I told you you can't do it, you can't get by with it. You good for nothing. You ain't fit for nothing. You a sorry thing. Now that's the devil accusing you generally. The Holy Spirit will never do that. The Holy Spirit only points to that sin that you have not confessed to the Lord. Never, never in generally, as the old Satan will himself call you unworthy. But the Holy Spirit, the skilled physician that he is, takes that finger and he puts it on that spot. As a doctor do, is that hurt? Yeah, right there, doc. That's it, right there. That's the Holy Spirit of God. He don't put the finger all over you, but there's one spot. Holy Spirit says, that's it. Old devil says, well, you ain't good for nothing. No, you ain't fit for nothing. You just down and out. I mean, you ain't no good for nothing. And generally, that's what the devil will do for you. But the Holy Spirit never, never does a child of God that way. He puts his finger on that spot and he calls it by name. If we try to deal with our sin in generally, a lot of times, you know, we say, well, Lord, forgive me for our sin if I've sinned. That won't work. The Holy Spirit convicts you redemptively. The devil accuses you to destroy you, but the Holy Spirit convicts you and redeems you and brings that sin to the light. The Holy Spirit of God does this, and sin must be exposed to the Lord. Verse 9 again, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Agree with God. God, that's exactly right. That's what it is. And we must do this when we express this to the Lord, this sin that I have sinned, the Holy Spirit's done pointed out in my life, your life, He's done this legally because He is a God. He does this special sin. He does the redemption way for the blood to cover it. Then sin must be exposed to the Lord immediately. Confess that sin in present tense right then when the Holy Spirit brings it up to you. You need to confess it. Well, don't wait till the weekend right then. Don't wait till Sunday right then. For instance, you ever got a gnat in your eye? Anybody ever got a gnat in their eye? Well, when you did, you say, well, I think I'll wait till next Sunday to get that gnat out of my eye. Did you do that? You got a piece of sand in your eye, say, well, I think I'll wait till next week to get this sand out of my eye. You ever had kidney stones? Think I'll wait till next month, go to the doctor. You know what? You want to do something? Get that sand out of my eye, get that gnat out of my eye, get me some help for that kidney stone immediately. Ain't that right? That's what God says about our sins. He's pointed it out. He says to get it out immediately. And do this specifically. Count your many blessings, name them one by one, and you will be surprised what the Lord have done. Y'all know I could sing, did you? Count your many sins and name them one by one, and you will be surprised what you have done. Ain't that right? But it's that name them one by one. Point it out. Not say, Lord, if I've sinned, forgive me if I've sinned. We know exactly what it is. When the Holy Spirit convicts us, we know exactly what it is. You know, I'm looking out at y'all tonight, and I think the Lord's reading every one of us, don't y'all? I know He's reading every one of us. And then it says we can really express to the Lord confident, in confidence. How can we do this first night again? If we confess our sin, God, it's sin. He said, God is faithful. He's just forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all. Now, He has forgiven me of my sin. Again, God's faithful. He says, I forgive you of your sin. I remember against it no more because I sent my son, Jesus, to die on the cross for that sin. And I'm faithful. I sent my son. That blood covers that sin. And I can do this with confidence. I know that the Lord has forgiven you, forgive me tonight, and we can do this with confidence. Because what Jesus Christ done, God sent His own Son down the cross of Calvary, that I can believe what God said in His Word because I know that I have sinned. I know that I have sinned. He said, if you'll confess that sin and say, Lord, that sin right there, that's the sin I've done. God says, you can believe that I've done this and forgive you with all the confidence with the blood of Jesus Christ. Isn't it good, you know, the night right now, every one of us in here, if there's anything ever between you and the Lord, you can confess it right now. And you can walk out of this building as a newborn baby and you have never sinned. You know, that little baby that Nancy's holding in her arms, you know, it didn't have no beginning. I didn't have no past. In the beginning, when it was born, it didn't have no past. And you know what God's saying to us when we sin is that little baby, you know what, when it's born, that beginning, but they don't have no past. And tonight, God looks out and sees you with no past. You remember that sin you done? All sin comes short of the glory of God. God says, you don't have no past. It's all from now on. How about that sin I done yesterday? Even a child of God, well, God deal that with the Father, and He said, you know, you confess it. You don't have no past. That's the Savior that we're serving that can forgive you and say, my son, my daughter, you don't have no past sins. I remember against you no more. And I have confidence in my Lord. Jesus Christ done that for me. I have confidence I can say that. You know, and it's not the way that we live our life, is it? What will we give God back for just one sin we sinned against him? How could we ever repay him? There's no way. You couldn't pay the Lord back for just one sin. But when we confess it, is we have no past. It's all future for every child of God. Aren't you glad you're here tonight to worship and serve a living Savior? Brother Barry, you got something you put on while we have a silent prayer for just a moment? I'm so glad I'm able to be here tonight. Praise the Lord. I want to tell you, he has been so good to me. He's been so good to me. Bow and silent prayer for just a moment.